Welcome, everybody, to Disruptive Minds Business Podcast. I'm your host, Tevia Holz, CEO of Takota Accounting. And with us today is Brady Jolly of Jolly Plumbing, Drains, Heating, and Air. Welcome, Brady. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yes. Okay, so let's jump right in. Obviously, the title of the podcast is Disruptive Minds, so I always like to start there. What are some things that you see in your industry, either being done by others or that you're looking to do, that you are considering disruptive?
Yeah, totally. So our industry has completely changed over the last 5 to 6 years. You know, when I bought the business from my parents in 2017, and, you know, back then it was single location, single trade. So plumbing and just in one trade, one location. And we've seen over the last like 7 years, more specifically 4 or 5 years, it's went from single location, multi-trade to now a whole lot of multi-trade. So plumbing, heating and air, electrical and multi-location. So I would say just like geographical expansion and the expansion into multiple trades has just boomed over the last several years.
Oh, I love that so much. It just immediately tells me what an entrepreneurial spirit that you have, because you took something that, you know, your parents started and you've just blown it up. So congratulations.
And yeah, thanks so much. And I would tell you from our standpoint, so we're working on the multi-location, but for now it's just, we went from just being a plumbing company. And then now we're in heating and air as well, as the title says. We do a ton of underground drain and sewer work. And then we also do water cleanup, like water mitigation, restoration type work. So although we're not multi.
Unfortunately had some experience with that. So
not fun, right? Nobody wants to call me, you know, nobody wants to call me for a problem. That's what we find in our business.
I mean, our first experience, I will tell you, I was on my honeymoon. It was, of course, like 2 in the morning. My mom had our little one and, you know, was calling the firemen. There was water everywhere and they got it figured out, but we did get
not fun. That. It never happens at a convenient time, right?
Totally. Yeah. You guys are definitely an industry where it's I have to spend, not I want to spend. So that's always kind of an interesting place to be in.
We always say we're not selling iPhones. You know, it's like, we'll have an idea that we're really excited about. And we're like, this is, everybody's going to love this. And, you know, regular people don't really care about what is going on our industry. They actually don't even want to ever have to care, you know? So that's kind of part of the marketing. Like, you know, you got to try to find ways to make it interesting and might make it eye grabbing, because you're not flashing these new products that everybody wants to be a part of. Right.
Yeah. So that's actually an interesting question, probably out of alignment of what I usually do, but I would say, do you guys just work in like emergency situations mainly? Or, I mean, obviously people are doing projects that they hire you for that are not emergencies, but have you figured out any revenue streams that are any kind of recurring that you guys can take part in?
Yeah, definitely. That's a major part of our business because, you know, especially heating and air, it's so weather dependent, you know, and you hate for it to build a business model that's dependent on something that's out of your control, like the weather. Mm-hmm. We like to say bad weather is an enhancer to our business, but it's not going to be something that's going to determine if we have a good month, quarter, or year, you know? So the ways that we are able to do that, a few things, main one's going to be the maintenance contracts. Mm-hmm. So we have monthly maintenance contracts to where we, you know, we do a lot of outbound calling and have ways to book those appointments for people. So we have a bunch of maintenance contracts. When we're slower, we can gear up the outbound calling to book system checks on equipment. So we do that for HVAC and we do it for plumbing too. People think a lot of maintenance system checks being on their HVAC side, but we do a ton of plumbing system checks as well. And that's just a way to keep our guys busy and to give really good customer service. You know, this is like the best value in our whole business, $15 a month. And, you know, It's not like it's special to us. There's a lot of people doing it, but $15 a month to make sure that your HVAC system's running smoothly. 2 times a year, we come out for your HVAC system and to make sure your plumbing system's running smoothly, you know? So it's not a massive moneymaker for us on the like recurring revenue side, but it is on customer retention, And then when we're in the homes, if there is something that's wrong with the home, we're able to identify that and hopefully close that job and help the customer.
Oh, man. All right. Well, more locations. I need you in my area. $15 a month. I'm all over it.
All right.
Good. So, okay. I love that you guys are figuring out recurring revenue. I mean, obviously I'm in the accounting industry. I am always just, you know, repeating for our owners, good takeaway here from this portion of the podcast is figure out a way in your business to find recurring revenue. That is really something that's going to take off a lot of stress so that you can forecast and you can plan for, you know, finance and revenue coming in. So I'm super glad that you guys have figured that out. Talk to me a little bit about when you expand. You know, every business needs to expand into more revenue streams, whether they're complementary or whether they are in a completely new, you know, vertical. You guys adding trades, you know, you might think, well, that's just another trade, but it's a completely different skill set. It's a completely different knowledge base. So do you have the knowledge base in the ones that you added, or how did you go about selecting the ones you were going to do and then identifying, you know, your staff that has the knowledge that you need for them to serve your customer?
Yep. Good question. We often say we're a bunch of plumbers trying to run an HVAC business. You know, that's okay. How I felt at the beginning.
Sure.
I'm a plumber, you know, by trade and by, I grew up in the plumbing business, you know? So obviously when you add a trade, that's the fear, right? Like, yeah. We can now, been in this my whole life in plumbing, we can figure out a plumbing business like in our sleep, right? But when you don't know, it's because we know the nuts and bolts of what's happening on the technical side out there, right? But when you expand and you don't have that comfortability, I think that's where the real skills of running a business come into play, you know? And we've made our fair share of mistakes in launching that business. But to me, it starts with a good leader. So we have somebody who is a great leader for an HVAC business, who is very technical, knows the ins and outs of everything that can be done in residential HVAC. When we started our HVAC business 5 years ago, he came on right at that time and has been just a godsend for us. I would also say it's important for us, at least how we look at this, is the operating system and the customer experience need to be the same or very similar. So what I mean by that, like, we run a 6-step system, we call it the service system, that is all about how everything from how you prepare for the job as a technician all the way into how you execute and then wrap up the job at the end. And it's a process we train our technicians on religiously. It's all customer, it's soft skills, customer interaction training. So we want to be in businesses that we can train that on. So whether that's plumbing, HVAC, or water cleanup that we do now, eventually electric, those all have that same customer interaction workflow. And as long as we can train our techs on that process, we think we can be successful in multiple trades.
So I'm hearing another couple of good takeaways for our owners out there. Processes are always super important. And another reason to do them is what you're doing. You're adapting them to more businesses that you are creating or acquiring so that it still works for you and you are not starting from step one. So I think that is super efficient, very smart, good takeaway. And also that it sounds like you're finding good partners so that you can expand and have people that you trust. So that's another one, is find people you can lean on and expand into new areas and make sure that you have those good partnerships. So I love that.
Yeah, and I would add to that, our supplier relationships have been super important. You know, being in plumbing for a number of years, we never really thought about it like that. But the group, it's Johnstone Supplies, who we ended up using for most of our supplies in HVAC. When we did that, they've just been so helpful because, you know, they're selling to thousands of other HVAC companies. And that was something that we didn't really realize was going to be so helpful. And then they just kind of unrolled all these processes and procedures that they've seen other companies do. And it was a huge help, especially right around the time that we launched that business.
Oh, That's awesome. So good partners. Again, good. Learn from them, ask them what they know. And that's another great takeaway is pick on the experience of those around you. You know, ask your partners. You guys work with other companies that in what we do, what do you see work? You know, that's so good. We try to do that for our clients all the time is, you know, hey, you're in a similar industry. We see this work for these guys. You might want to try it out. So I'm so excited for you guys that you are figuring all this stuff out and it's working for you. What are you finding, like, what are your scale goals and what are you finding is your biggest challenge that you're working on overcoming with those right now?
Yep. Great question. So we certainly, well, I've kind of, my answer to this has changed over the last several years. If you'd have asked me this 4 or 5 years ago, I thought that we had so much growth to do in the greater Cincinnati area. So we're in Kentucky, but we're in the Cincinnati market. So we service about 30% of the work that we do is actually across the river in Ohio, 70% being in Kentucky. If you'd have asked me 5 years ago, I would have said that most of our growth over the next 10 years is going to happen in greater Cincinnati, in Cincinnati specifically, in Ohio. And what we found is we are a awesome area for home service businesses. We have some of the best home service businesses in the country here in greater Cincinnati, believe it or not. So the competition is, it's crazy. You know, there's awesome companies doing things the right way. And it's been challenging. You know, leads are expensive. The online Google leads are, it's challenging. You know, there's only a few spots that you're competing. All these great companies are competing for. So we've really shifted, and we know we can, and we have grown in the area. It just hasn't aligned with like our goals for where we want to go. We have really aggressive growth goals, and we have really identified full transparency that to do that, we think we're going to have to step outside of this area and grow regionally in some other areas. So that's kind of the process that we're in now, whether that's through acquisition or just organic like greenfield growth. We're really in the process of identifying those areas and just going to determine here in the next year or so and which ones and just run after.
Okay. Interesting. I like that a lot. It's similar to where I'm at. We're doing acquisitions and growing. So all my flags go off of all the things, you know, we could pivot and talk about there.
It's fun, right? Like, yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's energizing.
There is nothing, I don't think there's anything more fun than entrepreneurship. So I love to get to chat with other entrepreneurs and kind of get our excitement going. And, you know, a lot of people around us are not entrepreneurs. So they're going, oh, you guys are nuts. What are you doing? And so it's a good time when we can get together and do that.
Tevye, I don't know if you resonate with that, but it's what I was talking about with the HVAC, like starting HVAC and these other departments. It's uncomfortable because we've never done it, you know. Mm-hmm. We have awesome leadership team that, you know, we take on challenges and run at them, and we've been successful doing that, but it's still uncomfortable. It's like, there's a lot of what ifs, there's a lot of unanswered questions, you know, but as an entrepreneur, you just got to figure it out, right? You got to run after and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and I love to say we get to, right? Because growth is the only way to keep adapting and changing. And I don't know. I personally love to just keep growing and see where we go and go from there. So good job. Awesome. Okay. So talk to me a little bit about, you have talked actually a really good option there was that you have a lot of competition in your area and that you guys are mitigating that and figuring it out. And what do we do? And I love that because every industry has, you know, potentially a lot of competition. So what about Jolly Plumbing, Drains, Heating and Air? Do you guys do to differentiate? I think I might have heard the answer earlier, but I'm going to give you another chance to elaborate on that. And you know, what is your differentiator? How you get those clients?
Yeah, great question. Couple things. Thing number one is our customer interaction. About 80% of our training is on customer interaction. You know, people think that when you're a plumbing company or heating and air company, that all you're doing in your trainings is training on, you know, turning wrenches and fixing things. Mm-hmm. And one thing that differentiates us is that we do spend so much time on training our technicians on just how to interact. So I'll tell you a little story. So when my dad started the business in 1979, this is actually a picture of him right here when he started the business.
So
when he started it, that's why he started it, because you know, it was the stereotypical plumber. It was stinky, old, kind of smelly, not good communicator, like the butt crack plumber, you know, that's what it was. And he was looking around town and seeing one plumber after the other, great guys, great workers, great technical ability, but they weren't the best communicators. They didn't have great soft skills with customers. He had a business degree and he kind of fell into plumbing because he couldn't find a job. He thought he'd work at this plumber for a few months until he found his career. And what he found was, man, this industry needs to be reimagined to have great customer skills and to communicate with customers. So that was in 1979. And now just by like dressing clean and having a nice truck and communicating well, that's no longer like reimagining our industry. But we want to take that same passion and mindset in how we can reimagine this industry, you know, and it goes all the way back to our roots. So what I would say is number one is customer interaction, and that's everything. And then the second way is I would say culture. So if you go through culture of our employees, I would say, so if you go to, you know, 20 different home service company owners and say, what's your number one problem? I'm going to guarantee you that you hear over and over again, 80% of them are going to say, I can't find the people. I can't find people. I could grow if I could find the people. And I was one of those people. I was that for like the first 5 years of my career. And we finally, as a leadership team, we said, why do we like, how bad of are we at running a business if the same problem every year, it's the same problem and we can't solve it? You know, it almost, not being able to recruit and keep good talent almost feels like this. When people talk about it, it feels like a problem that is, they just write off as, there's nothing I can do about it. I just can't find good people. So we challenge that. We're like, we have the ability to keep great people and to hire great people and to not have a hiring problem and to staff and have enough people. So we did a lot of things, but we put a budget towards our culture. We became, we just wanted to become different and reimagine what that process looked like in culture. We have a basketball court in our office. I'm looking at it right now. Our office does not look like a plumbing office. You know, people come in here and they're like, what's going on? We hired a recruiter we were too small to have a recruiter, but we hired one because we're like, we have to solve this problem. Built an apprenticeship program. And now we have about 80% of our hires come from internal referrals from other employees. So as of about the last 2 years, we have kind of eliminated that problem of not being able to get enough people, which has been the greatest blessing in our business.
Oh,
sorry for the long-winded answer.
No, I love it. I mean, stories are what engage people. So please, all of them that you have. But I was going to say, Brady, I am so excited to actually follow your journey. And I mean that genuinely, and just see what you're going to do, because everything you're saying, it works in every industry. So yes, you know, you have a plumbing, heating and air and drainage company, but anybody listening, these are all the keys to success. And I'm just so excited that you're getting there and you've experienced this stuff, because everything you're saying is exactly about disruptive mindset, which is what it takes to win now. Because what you're saying, like the mission of my company is obliterate the status quo. It's why? Because status quo doesn't work anymore, you know? And I would love to see a picture. You know, you should put up on your content, your basketball court. People love that. You know, I mean, culture is the base of my company as well. So I get super excited to hear all of this stuff that somebody cares about that. Cause you think about the trades and just like you said, who's going to be making a difference in the culture of the company, you know, versus just trying to get another client. And
in that culture word, you know, it's thrown around a lot and I don't even like, I wish there was another way to put it, but we talk a lot about like employee happiness, but I used to think culture was something that you could just like buy, like, all right, let's just buy some snacks and put them out there, or like, let's have a couple of good company parties. But what we found is it's so much deeper than that, you know, and it's literally a full-time job. We have a person, our employee experience manager, she was who we hired as our recruiter, and she's since been promoted and just does an incredible job. Like her whole job is just about what that customer experience looks like at our company. And that's just been one of like the most key hires that we've ever made.
Yep. We actually have a culture manager, and she
Awesome.
doesn't even engage with the external customers. She is only for our team and making, because we also have a remote team. So we also have to overcome, that everybody works from home. We're all US based, but we work at home. And she, all the time, her entire job is not only her funnest part of her job is planning retreat, because we all come together once a year and have a retreat together and do some fun stuff. But
Really
then
cool.
every single month, we do, we'll meet up for game night, or we'll do video streaming, and we'll all, chat about the movie or whatever we're doing. We just do lots of fun stuff to connect. So culture is by far important.
That's got to add a crazy dynamic, everybody being from home. That's challenging,
Yeah.
right?
It's just something that the world is getting used to, and it works for some, it doesn't work for others. I was lucky, we've always been remote. So even when COVID happened, that wasn't really anything that we had to overcome and figure out. We were already processing that way. So that worked out well for us. But with you guys, being on the ground, and of course you're a boots on the ground type industry, what do you find most challenging about that? I mean, obviously it's fun for me to have a remote company, because I get to reallocate those funds that I don't pay in rent, and I don't pay in a lot of things, that are physical locations. So how do you overcome some of that in your financial planning?
Yeah, so whenever we have people going to people's house, physically having to go to their house to produce revenue, right? The only part of our revenue that isn't actually taking place in somebody's house is our little bit of recurring revenue that we talked about earlier, right? So in order for us to have a good day, week, month, year, we have to be in a lot of homes. And that's expensive, vehicles, insurance, all the things that go into that is very expensive. So what we do from the business standpoint is just make sure we're priced right. Everything starts with making sure we're priced right. So I can tell you that the company we used to be was, hey, what's Joe down the street charging? And maybe for one reason or the other, we should charge a little less than them, or we should charge a little more than them, And what I learned really quickly is that isn't a great way to scale a business. We have to be able to set what we want to do. So it starts with our mission, and then we have to figure out what we have to charge, So our mission statements reimagine how the world experiences home services. In order to do that, we want to focus on that experience word. We want to create exceptional experiences for our customers and for our employees. In order to do that, we can't be Joe down the street, right? We can't be the normal plumber that just shows up and, like I said earlier, doesn't communicate well, is, not in a well-stocked, clean van, doesn't have a well-trained technician. Like we can't do that if we're going to live to our mission and our values. So what we found was, let's build the exact company that we want to be and what that looks like. We put all that into a spreadsheet. We know how many billable hours we're going to bill a year and everything like that. It goes into a spreadsheet and it tells us this is what you have to charge, And it's taken me a long time to get comfortable with that, because it's like, oh, what if somebody doesn't like the price, or what if, somebody's charging less or whatever it is. And we just stopped caring about that. We want to create the value. We do create the value that we charge. And I think that that's the most important part. We've been able to scale our business because we're priced right, and that's been a key driver to our success.
Yeah, creating that value lets you honestly place, the number, and the client will say, absolutely, that's worth it to me. So I love that you started talking numbers a little bit, because this is a good time to go to our financial facts segment that I like to do. So talk to me a little bit either about something you've learned along the way as an owner with your financials, or, even something you still have a question about that has helped you, a KPI, a number that you use to keep track of the business and kind of know where you're at that maybe somebody else could find useful.
Yeah, I would say a KPI for us, and this is probably home service specific. You could tell me maybe it isn't. Our expenses can't ever be more than 40%. Our overhead expenses can't be more than 40% of our revenue, or it makes it really hard to make money. So how we look at it is, our gross profit needs to be more than 50%, and our expenses have to be less than 40%, for a double-digit net profit. So we have tried. This is the first year we were really challenged with this, and we're really close. to set our budget based on the worst month of the year being less than 40% of expenses. So that actually happens to be February because it's only a 20 working day month. So it's like our lowest revenue. It's our lowest revenue month on our budget. So we were challenged to set the expenses under 40%. And that was something that I heard through a group, Nexstar, that we're a consulting group we're part of, best practices group. But we got to like 41%. We couldn't quite get it to under 40, but that's what we strive for. We strive for that 40%. The other thing is we look at our big five, and I'm kind of putting myself on the spot here to rattle off our big five, but it's material, labor, advertising, admin expense, and vehicles.
Okay,
is the big five. And we need to keep those under like 70% in order to be profitable. So those are two of the main KPIs on the financial statement that we look at every month.
Okay. Well, and so a couple takeaways for our listeners would be, no, that is not industry specific. Every business in every industry needs to do exactly what you've done, which is no matter what your inputs and outputs are, you must identify what does our gross profit need to be, which is after our revenue, after our cost of goods, what is our gross profit? And then what does our labor need to be? What, you know, what are all our, like you're talking about our big five, you must identify those and keep track of your overhead, cost of goods, all the expenses, because you'll know very, very quickly if a lever is out of control. So everything that you're doing is applicable to every kind of business. And it's the only way to keep a close eye on, am I on target or am I in trouble? So I have to be honest, being an accounting firm, we see a lot of people that are not doing any planning, that are really just winging it, because that's kind of the entrepreneurial spirit to some extent. And it's just like giving me so much joy that you guys have so much of this figured out. I'm so just happy for you.
It's been a long journey. Trust me. If you had talked to us a couple years ago, and if you would see some of the stuff we do, I'm sure you wouldn't think it was all figured out, but that's what we're striving for. You know, I used to be very much like the income state books would get closed on the 12th or 15th, and I'd be like, all right, what's it say? And then I'd scroll to the bottom and either be very disappointed or happy. You know, it was there wasn't control, you know? And what I would say, one of the most important financial things we've done is given P&L responsibility to our leaders, you know? So there's not a line, whether it's a direct cost or revenue item or overhead expense, there's not a line on our P&L that somebody isn't directly responsible for. And you know, that doesn't mean if they don't hit it, that doesn't mean they can't work here or anything. It just means that there's some coaching conversations that can happen and we can work together as a team to get there. But I do think that, and you know, a lot of that responsibility is me, you know, a lot of the overhead that comes to me, but not all of it. Right. So whether it's our COO or a departmental leader or our, head of accounting, somebody's responsible for everything on that P&L. And that's been really beneficial.
I'm hearing accountability. I'm hearing delegation. You are, Brady, you're saying all my favorite things. Awesome. Okay. Just a couple more things here. We're buzzing right through. We're doing awesome. So you've definitely alluded to, but what is like a specific BHAG of where you are going and what we can watch for you?
Yeah, good question. Certainly the geographical expansion, mm-hmm. You know, we're definitely going to be doing that regionally. We have a goal in 5 years, we'd like to have, two more locations. We still need to figure out where those are. And then the other one, and really a missing piece for us, I think, is electric. Like I mentioned, the things we look at with being on the same operating system, and process, electric falls really nice into that. I mean, that's why you see a lot of plumbing, heating and air and electric companies that are all ran together. So although electric it can't quite scale the same as plumbing or especially HVAC, we definitely see some potential there, and leveraging like our current customer base just to grow a electrical department. So those are the next two big things for us.
Yeah. I mean, when they've already fell in love with your customer service, why not get a little more sticky and offer them? I mean, I'm a homeowner, and if I love you guys, I am 100% going to go, oh, you can do this other thing for me? Yes, please. I don't even have to think about it. So that is a great, great route to go. I want to ask, I don't usually get into software stuff because, you know, like we talked about culture being a hot topic, which is my favorite topic, but AI, of course, is a hot topic as well. I want to ask whether this is something you're already doing or this is something you could look at doing. I had an experience. I mean, most of my trade experience, honestly, is people not returning calls. It's very frustrating where I used to live, where I live now, to like get someone to actually service. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity there. But one really great experience I had was they did have an app, I think, but it was more of a text system. And they text when the service agent was on the way. They gave their name. They gave a descriptor of them. They showed up. They were very professional. They really kind of almost over-communicated that, you know, they're on their way. And then when they left, you know, how did it go? You can rate here. And that gave me a lot of comfort because, as you know, in your industry, you know, it's giving a lot for the customer to invite someone into their home, a stranger into their home. That's very nerve-wracking, especially for me as a female when my husband's gone at work, you know, if someone's coming in because I work from home. So do you guys have a system like that? How do you use software to help with the servicing of the customer?
Yeah, totally. So that process that you just explained, I would be willing to bet that company that you used is on Service Titan, which is the software that we use and the software that most of the you know, larger companies and small companies in our industry use. They actually just went public at the beginning of January. They're a big company. We've been with them since 2018. It's funny because, you know, we talk about reimagining like what this industry's like. And back in 2018, when you were on Service Titan, it was like customers were blown away because they get the picture of the tech, they get a fun fact about the tech, they can track them like an Uber right to their house. I mean, this was groundbreaking stuff for our industry. I will say that has caught up. There's a lot more companies using that, and then other industries have software like it. So although those parts of things don't necessarily blow people out of the water, there are so many new tools with AI that are coming out. Just since January, we've launched three new AI programs. So one is after hours answering service. It's all AI. It's AI voice. It's called Avoca. It's incredible. And you know, where I would say that AI voice is right now, if you would have asked me 6 months ago, I would have said, there's no way that it's even close to our quality, what we would need. We did a demo 3 months ago and we were blown away just in a few months, how quickly that it's developed has been awesome. So when we compare AI voice to like to an answering service after hours that may be answering for 40 different companies like ours or more, it's better. It's awesome. It does a really good job. It integrates right into our software and the Service Titan. It books appointments. It knows the customer's name based on the phone number. I mean, it's really good. The second one is texting ISR. It's called Chirp is the one we use. So outbound texting campaigns. So unclosed jobs, unclosed estimates, it's following up with customers to try to close some of those opportunities. And then the third one is a dispatching software. It's probably my favorite of the three. It's called ProBook. Mm-hmm. And it's been really good for us. We just launched it a month ago. But you know, if you picture, say on any given day, we do 60 or 70 jobs, even the best dispatcher in the world cannot maximize that schedule for profitability and revenue perfectly, mm-hmm. right? There's 60 combinations with 30 or some different techs. Very challenging, right? To identify the exact perfect situation to make the company the most revenue or profit. And that's what this software does through AI. It's really fascinating how they're able to do it. So those are other than Service Titan, the three main softwares that I would say I'm excited about.
Sounds like a lot of opportunity to get close to that under 40% operating expense. Trading, right. You know, highly efficient softwares and AI for, you know, employment. And that's just some of where this is going. So,
yep. And we don't want to be the company that onboards AI and then acts as a bunch of employees. But I will say, you know, like this is what happened with dispatch. One of our dispatchers got promoted to another position, to a manager role. And we didn't hire to replace that. We replaced it with that AI. Mm-hmm. Same with, you know, with our the call center, you know, we internally didn't have to eliminate any CSRs, but we did eliminate our the third party call center that we were using at the time. So it's been a huge cost saving. Yeah. And I think it just seems the way it's trending that the cost of these AI products are just going to continue to go down, you know, as and more of them come on the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Competition will drive that down for sure. Awesome. Okay. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. Tons of takeaways for our listeners and our other business owners out there. You know, if you're in the Kentucky, excuse me, or greater Cincinnati area, definitely hit up Brady and Jolly Plumbing Drainage Heating and Air. Make sure that, you know, you're looking for that high service. It is out there. And I hope this was helpful for our listeners. Brady, thank you so much for your time today. I have really enjoyed our conversation.